We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on the Score.
Well, you just don't want him to hit into a double play. That would be the worst case. Ground ball, they'll get one. And they just got two, oh, and Strope is hobbling. Worst case scenario, let me restate, would be a double play and an injury.
Listen, he hit the ball hard. This guy can swing the bat a little bit. That wasn't a fluke. So it's just the fact that he tried to beat it out, almost did, and you can never fault an athlete for competing.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
That's Joe Maddon yesterday. He still has not talked to the media today. Pedro Strope ruled out for the rest of the regular season. MRI confirming a moderate strain of his hamstring. This hour on The Score brought to you by Continental Motors. Searching for a Honda CRV? Search ContinentalHonda.com for the Continental Difference. Dave Wannstedt joins us in 20 minutes.
Yeah, nobody was criticized. I've not heard anybody suggest anything negative about Pedro Strope for hustling down the line. That's exactly what your instinct's going to tell you to do.
The argument is don't run hard.
That flies in the face of everything you've learned your entire life. The manager shouldn't have put him in the position. He should have taken the bat out of his hands and lifted him for Tommy La Stella to add to a one-run lead and then give the ball to Rosie when they're up 5-3 for the last three outs.
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes you see a guy go up there and they're told, don't swing the bat. If they walk you, great. If not, fine. We're just going to put you up there for the next inning. But I don't think you can predict injury in that spot. Pitchers run.
Not really. Not closers. That was his fourth career at bat.
But I understand, but he runs. Like, you know what I mean? He didn't get hurt swinging the bat. He runs. He covers first.
Yeah. For the offensive reason. And there's also the pitching consideration too. You were asking him to come out for the 10th inning, which would have been his third inning of work had he not pulled up lame at first base.
That's the part that surprised me the most.
So that's
it's only 22 pitches, but it's the getting up and down three times that he's not used to.
And I want another run. I got the bases loaded and one out. I want another run. They boast all year about their depth, and with good reason. They don't sing those guys' praises without justifying it. Tommy La Stella is supposed to be this great thing coming off the bench. There's an opportunity to ask him to go slap a fly ball to, mid-right field, and that gives you another run.
They do boast about their depth, just not in the bullpen. And that's why Joe made the decision. He didn't trust guys outside of Pedro Strope to go in there. Now, Rosario ends up going 1-2-3, and they get out of it, and they escape with the win. But I think that it was desperation from Joe to get that game.
Yeah, it sure was.
It was like, we have to go to D.C. Crane Kenny's talked about not wanting to go. Theo's talked about not wanting to go. We're leaving players behind. Like, I think that was Joe saying, we have to win that game. And you could question it. And I understand most people have, and we have, and I thought the Gore thing was crazy. I thought the Montgomery thing was crazy, and I thought the Strope thing was really bad luck. But it's just, I think he went all in to win that one baseball game.
And that's a mistake, or no?
Listen, I think that you can, if you would have told me before the game, Strope pulls his hamstring, but the Cubs win the game, there's a real argument to be made that the win is actually more valuable than Pedro Strope at this point in the season. I know that that's crazy to people.
See, you lose yesterday. You're still a game in front, and you've got Pedro Strop for the series against the Reds and then every other series.
I know, but you've got to avoid the wild card game, Mac. Yeah. Every win the rest of the way is so massive to actually get in the playoffs. You go to the wild card game, you have one bad inning from one starter, you're out of this thing. You make it into a division series, you give the ball to Lester, you give the ball to Hamels, you give the ball to Quintana, you give the ball to Hendricks, you got a shot to get off and running. Like, you've got to win the division.
Text came in a few moments ago, and I've seen a lot of this today, and I saw a lot of it last night as well. People just clamoring for the National League to adopt the DH rule, and this never happens. Yeah, until that happens, this is the type of thing you're dealing with. I don't think that's anytime soon. I don't think it's as early as next year. It's probably not going to happen until there's a new CBA. And when is the MLB CBA up? 2021?
I believe so.
I think 21.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can keep pounding your fist on the table and getting mad about that if you want to, but 30 teams play by those rules. And the Cubs just happened to get bit last night because their closer had to bat because the manager needed him to.
Yeah. And listen, everyone, Parkins is nuts. Parkins is on crack. I'm not being a contrarian here. If you look at what the FanGraphs numbers or the Baseball Reference numbers or the wins above average numbers for a relief pitcher like Pedro Strop, he's 0.8 wins on FanGraphs, 2.1 on Baseball Reference, wins above average of 1.3. A win is more valuable than one relief pitcher for the Cubs at this point in the season. I'm not saying I'm happy that the guy pulled his hamstring. And by the way, they didn't even win because of the move because he hit into a damn double play and then Rosario got the save.
Yes.
So you lost Strope without him contributing to the win in the 10th inning. So obviously it didn't work out and it was horrible luck. I just don't think Joe's to blame for the injury. That's the only thing I'm disagreeing with what I feel like is some of the masses there. He's an athlete. He ran to first base. He could have injured it covering.
Well,
he could have injured
right.
it covering
that,
first base.
That is a different debate. I don't like the idea of putting guys in positions with which they have no familiarity, and he has very little of that in terms of running 90 feet. And he said afterward he didn't run as hard as he could until the last minute. I thought that was the case when I saw the replay.
That's what he messed up. He turned it on at the
well,
and then
it might
lunged.
Have been a lunge. I've been in, you know, the Cubs run the bases pretty damn well, but you see even their best players, even El Mago lunges at first base. First of all, it doesn't get you there any quicker.
Right, and some guys slide at first base.
Yeah, and it gives you a greater chance of hurting yourself when you lunge.
As for the NLDH thing that you mentioned, like, yeah, you and I are both in favor of that, but the worst time to make that argument is when your pitcher gets hurt hitting. You know what I mean? Like, then it just seems like sour grapes.
Well, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, well, but make the argument on behalf of good baseball and offense and hitting. And you know what I mean? Like, no one likes to watch pitchers hit unless it's Carlos Zambrano or, you know, Bartolo Colon or something like that. Like, yes, I'm obviously pro NL having a DH, universal DH, but now's not the day to make that argument.
No,
I don't think it's
not. But a lot of people did, and a lot of people got mad at me because I'm failing to recognize that Joe Maddon's the only Cubs manager to win a title. I know that. He almost cost them that, too.
In Milwaukee, Matt is on the score. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to, for all those who are putting this on Maddon, I agree. I don't think it's necessarily his fault. I put it more on Strope. And I'm not a Maddon apologist. What he does with the relief, the starters, giving them the hook as early as he does, drives me bonkers. I don't know why he does that. But last night, no Cub fan anywhere was complaining about the move and forecasting that Strope might get hurt. They might have been complaining about it because of the potential lack of offense or the extra run, but nobody was thinking, well, what if he gets hurt? And you know what? If the reverse happens and he pulls Strope, we don't score. Another reliever comes in and blows the game. Everybody the next day is saying, well, why didn't he lose Strope?
Well, certainly, Matt, certainly some people would have gone in that direction, yes, had he not used him to bat and then gone with Rosie in the final inning and he blows it. Yes, that would have been the case. But I first guessed it. When I saw Pedro Strope standing in the batter's box, I jumped up out of the armchair and said, what are you doing? Why are you asking this guy to do this?
You've been consistent on that stuff all year. You hated Dunsing and left. You hate using guys outside of situations where they're uncomfortable.
But then that wasn't even the biggest reason I was upset last night. It's to get that damn fifth run in. I want that fifth run. I want a two-run lead. Maybe more. The sacks were juiced with one out.
Right. And he, you can make an argument to err on the side of offense there, but given how few guys he trusts in the bullpen, like he said he was pulling Strope if the game was tied.
Mm.
So one run was enough for, like, one run made him side with the pitching.
Yeah.
One run you still wanted to side with an offense. So that's just a fundamental philosophical disagreement. I didn't even see it live. I watched the 8 innings of that game live and then had to leave to go play pickup, still hurting, by the way, and come home and watch the rest of the game on DVR. And I was like, oh, my God, miss a little, miss a lot.
Yeah, no kidding.
That was out of control. Elmhurst Steve's on McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
Good afternoon, guys.
You hey,
know, I got to say, the problem that I had with that whole situation, Madden already had used him in 1 2/3 innings. You look at Strope's history, and he had only pitched 58 innings in 59 appearances this year. So obviously he averages one inning per appearance. He'd already gone 1 2/3. So you could say, okay, but you know what? This is a big game. You want to stretch him even further, extend him even farther than he's gone in other games because this is so important. Well, you got a series coming up against Cincinnati. You use him for another inning, use him 2 2/3, and how many games is he going to be able to pitch in that series? Maybe none. So you're overextending these guys. He did it last year with Wade Davis, the same thing. At the end of the year, the last few weeks, he was using them instead of just one inning. It was 1 2/3, two innings and whatnot. And what happened? He got his performance declined. Okay, he didn't perform as well. So if that's what you want from the one guy who's been like really outstanding lately is for his performance to decline, okay, they overextend him because that's the way to do it. And obviously the injury, that's hindsight. You can say, oh, he shouldn't have done it because you can't risk injury. Well, I wasn't thinking that at all. I was just thinking, no, he's already gone an inning and 2/3. You got the bases loaded, one out, and you got the pinch hitter who's had more pinch hits than anybody in baseball sitting on your bench, and you're going to send this guy up there now when he shouldn't be pitching anymore?
You made the case very well. The only thing I'd say back to you is it was only 21 pitches for Strope.
Well, I don't care. He still had to get up again.
I'm with you. You had to get up and down.
So, yeah, it's just you don't you put guys in roles. They know what's expected of them. They've been doing it all year. Their body's conditioned for it. Now, when you ask them to do more, you're setting yourself up for a situation that's likely to go badly. If not in that game, in the games that follow, when you're going to need them again.
Good call, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
I appreciate it. I told you, the thing that was most surprising to me was that he wanted him to pitch again, not that he hit. The hitting thing to me, it's just horrible luck.
Yeah.
It was a gamble that you lost.
It's just a big mess. It's a Madden loss it's a team win, but it's a Madden loss from so many different angles yesterday. Four or five things that were done by the manager, all in his lap, that were just, what are you doing here? And it starts with Montgomery not getting to get into the fifth inning.
Yeah. God, he pulled him so quick. And now I think it's Wilson. Some people can make a good argument for Cishek. I don't think there's a Chavez argument. I don't think there's a Rosario argument. And Brandon Morrow is going to throw a simulated game tomorrow. You're not going to put him back as a closer instantly, and he's not going to be able to go back-to-back days at the beginning. So
they need to give him a personal attendant so he doesn't have any issues getting his pants on and off for the next little while here, because he's become oh so important to this team.
They need him.
Yes, they do.
They need him.
Well, they're going to get Jason Hamels to go Cole Hamels to go 9 innings tonight. That's what you're going to do. Cole Hamels will go the distance, and the Cubs will resurrect memories of the 0-5 Sox in the ALCS. Everybody's just going to keep reeling off 9-inning artistry.
Just complete game after
you
complete
believe that?
Game. No.
Neither do I.
No. Sounded really good, though.
Yeah.
Sounded convincing.
In fact, I'd bet against any one of them going 9 innings the rest of the year. That's not baseball in 2018, no matter how bad your bullpen is.
Yeah, I mean, it's happened once for the Cubs all year.
One complete game.
Cole Hamels is the one complete game. This segment brought to you by Bet Chicago. For betting and fantasy football coverage, download the app today and bet for free. You want to talk to coach?
We got matchups. Green Bay's playing at home. Rodgers, oh, I'll tell you what, one leg, and he's still. Yeah, Dave Wannstedt's going to join us in just a few
minutes.
Let's
talk to Wani on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Touchdown for the Bears.
Dave Wannstedt.
Dave Wannstedt has guided his Bears to the playoffs, and he knows what it takes to succeed.
NFL head coach for 11 years.
The Bears came in here, and Dave Wannstedt, there's a happy group of overachievers that have been well coached.
College football national champion.
A superb game plan defensively by the Miami Hurricanes.
The party has begun in Miami.
Super Bowl champion.
They swarmed to the ball so incredibly. This speed-burning defense, number one in the NFL. Dave Wannstedt, the defensive coordinator.
Football analyst for Fox Sports and NBC Sports Chicago.
The only reason I did that, obviously, my man Mitch over there.
Yeah, he pays you. That's why.
No.
Dave Wannstedt.
Dave Wannstedt with the mustache. Looks like Bill Cowher, the Pittsburgh coach, a little bit, doesn't he? And Ditka likes him. What kind of a guy is this, right?
With McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
Normally it's going to be Thursdays in the studio at 4 o'clock, but Wani kind enough to adjust his schedule with us to join us on a football Friday with the Cubs day game yesterday. It's brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Tickets for the Wolves' 25th anniversary season on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Be there for the home opener as the Wolves defend their back-to-back division championships on October 13th at Allstate Arena.
Dave, good afternoon. Thanks for the time. Thanks for the adjustment. How you feeling?
Yeah, I'm doing great. I'm out here in L.A. You know what? It was well worth it. The Cubs got a win under their belt, so it was good. It was a good thing.
Yeah, it was a costly win in the process, but a win nonetheless. And they got a series against the Reds this weekend. How do you pick yourself up and dust yourself off, even though you did a lot of things well, when you blow a 17-point fourth-quarter lead against a divisional opponent?
Well, every game, there's so many things to coach. I mean, the coaches are looking at things that they could do better. Each individual position is looking. And then just from a team standpoint, you know, it's never one play. Everybody would like to say, it was a third and one call when they threw it and maybe they should have run it. I mean, I looked at the numbers. I mean, Matt Nagy ran the ball. They didn't sit on this lead. And I mean, they were balanced in the second half. You know, a few situations that he acknowledged that, maybe if he had to do it over again, he would, you know, select a little different play. But, I thought the effort was outstanding. You're always looking for that. First-year head coach, first game out of the box. You're trying to see how the effort was from start to finish. And then, obviously, you know, you're looking at your draft picks and your new players. I mean, how could Khalil Mack play any better? I mean, for the few plays that, you know, Roquan Smith played, would he play eight plays?
Yes.
He made some plays. I mean, God, that's exciting. The win, absolutely. You had a chance to win the game, but, I think there were a heck of a lot more positives than negatives for the Bears.
Well, especially defensively, too. I can't wait to see what Khalil Mack looks like after a few weeks of conditioning, because that first half was Hall of Fame stuff, man.
Well, we might see it Monday night. You know, I mean, last week Seattle was sacked by Denver six times. Von Miller got him three himself. So going into this Monday night game, I guarantee you that Khalil Mack is watching that tape and they're studying it. And how did they get to Russell Wilson, meaning Denver? And you might see some action this Monday night. I believe you will.
Do you expect the Bears to win?
Oh, absolutely. I think the Bears, and it's probably been a while since I may have said it, but I don't know if I've believed it 100%. The Bears are a better football team. The Bears are truly a better football team. I mean, I loved how they were coming off the ball. Maybe they didn't rush for 300 yards, but, I mean, they were knocking people off the football. Kyle Long and all the guys. And that was a pleasure to see. I mean, that gives you a chance. And you know, obviously, Trubisky's going to have to win some games. He's going to have to make some throws under pressure and win some games. I mean, he's probably the only question mark right now that, you know, you say, is he going to be a frontline guy? Is he going to be a franchise guy? Or isn't he? And that's a tough environment to try to evaluate that up there at Green Bay. you know, at night, on the road. I mean, that's a tough duty for anybody.
Dave, to play cornerback in the National Football League and do it at a high level, you got to be a hell of an athlete, but that doesn't always mean you're going to have very good hands. What would you do with a guy like Kyle Fuller to make him more sure-handed and take advantage of being in position as he was?
You know what? That's an interesting question. It's a good question because when I was at the Dolphins, our secondary coach, Mel Phillips, you know, played in the league a long time, and he, when we would evaluate corners, he put hands, how good their hands were, as like one of the top three things that he was looking at, and I personally never really got into that. You know, I was more interested in their instincts. Could they close? You know, would they tackle? All the football things more so than how their hands were. At this point in the game, you know, they're going to do ball catching drills. They do them all the time, but that's not going to change. I mean, I think guys have good hands or they don't have good hands. And at this point in the game, you know, maybe when they're in junior high or high school, but not at this point.
That's really interesting given how valuable turnovers are in the NFL. So you prioritize just covering?
Now, let me ask you guys something. If they threw that same pass 10 times, he's probably going to catch it 8 or 9 times. And I know he's not known for great hands, but he'll make that catch. And I think, you know, I would not be overly concerned with that. I really, really wouldn't.
I'm knocking myself out trying to remember where I first heard this cliche. It had to be a defensive coach. It was probably in Platteville, Wisconsin at some point. But he said to a corner who dropped an interception, he'd say to Kyle Fuller, that's why that's a number 23, not a number 83, son. It's driving me nuts, but I can't remember. That wasn't you, was it? That wasn't your
clue? No, okay. I don't know. I wasn't that extreme with them, you know, but I would, you know, you sure as heck don't want it to become a mental thing with him. And that's one of the biggest qualities. You asked about qualities for corners. Sure, they got to have the athletic ability and the burst on the ball and the instincts to make a play, but you're going to have the ability to forget about the last play because every corner is going to get some touchdowns thrown on them, and the guys that can't recover, and they, as Michael Jordan used to say, a missed shot, he would never carry a missed shot from one end of the court to the other. By the time he got to the other end of the court, he was on to the next play. And that's really the mentality that defensive backs and corners got to have.
We got a big divisional game this week at Lambeau Field again. Green Bay hosting the Vikings. Did you get a chance to see the Vikings defense go to work this past week in their opener? Dave, they were fabulous.
Yeah, I did. And, you know, the Vikings, and I don't know, I'm going to say this. I think the Vikings might be as a complete football team as anybody in the National Football League. You know, Cousins played good, Kirk Cousins, you know, solid. He didn't, not Aaron Rodgers good. But with Dalvin Cook back, their running back, who also caught the ball, and that group of receivers they got with Diggs and the big tight end, and, I mean, they've got 3 or 4 receivers. And then defensively, I counted them up. I see there are 5 or 6 Pro Bowlers on that defense. I mean, that's just, you know, when I was at the Dolphins, I had top 5 defenses, and I think we had 4 or 5 Pro Bowlers, maybe 6 in 1 year. These guys, that's where they're at right now. I mean, you look at their team, there's really not a whole lot of holes on their football team.
Dave Wanstead with us, McNeil and Parkins on The Score. NFL teams and coaches, they can be weird with hiding injuries. Do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to play?
Wow. You know what? I think he will. I remember playing the Packers once up there, and Matt Millen, I think, was doing a game, and Brett Favre had not practiced all week, and they said he was in a cast, and Matt was doing a game, and I said, hey, what do you think? And he says, oh, God, he's in the training room in a cast. He says, oh, no way. And he hobbled down that field on a broken ankle, I think, and he threw 4 touchdown passes. So the great ones, you just don't underestimate them. And I really loved what Aaron Rodgers said. I mean, to me, that was old school football afterwards when he said, hey, I paid a lot of money. Everybody's hurt. I've got to play. You know what I mean? I hadn't seen that side of Aaron Rodgers. You expect to hear that from a Brett Favre. So I loved hearing that about him. And if he can play, he will.
can you talk to us about the secrecy component of the NFL? Because I always wonder, like, what edge you really think you're getting by all of the secrecy that goes into, you know, a coach publicly with the media and injuries and all of that.
Well, you can. I mean, you know what it forces you to do? And right now, I promise you, the Vikings, they would probably – how about Kaiser? I'm kind of surprised. I think Aaron Rodgers has to play. They cannot win. If you're part of the Vikings, I mean – or I'm sorry, part of the Packers, how can you have any confidence that if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play that your backup can come in and win for you? I mean, they should sign Jay Cutler. I'm serious now, guys. I mean, you know, they got to have somebody that if something happens – that they can come in if they're behind and throw the ball and make some plays and win. So, you know, it's going to be – I think Rodgers will try it, but I guarantee you Zimmer has two game plans. You know, he's looking mm-hmm. – Kaiser's more of a runner. He's an athlete. He can throw. I get it. But he's not Aaron Rodgers' throw. So by having the secrecy thing to answer your question, Dan, you know, it forces the defense to kind of work on two different game plans. You know, it's more meeting time, more practice time. All that type of stuff is really what the biggest difference is.
So Kaiser scares you that much that they should go out and find somebody off the scrap heap?
I'm surprised they didn't. Did you watch the game?
Yeah, I did. I know. When you get the ball okay, taken away from you like an infant is getting his toy stolen.
As I would say to one of my assistants back then, if they would ask me that same question, I would say to them, you know, I'd say, Danny, I'd say, did you watch the tape? Go watch the tape one more time and then come on back and let's talk.
That's your guy, Mike McCarthy, though. I mean, he was happy with Brett Hundley last year. He's happy with DeShone Kaiser. I don't know
what
it is.
And you know what? And I'm saying it halfway in jest, but because I don't know. You know, I'm not at practice. I don't know the qualities. I'm sure – I know he's a great kid and he's doing everything he can, but – I don't know. If you're a Super Bowl contender, are you comfortable with that? I would be surprised.
Dave wants that with us, McNeil and Parkins on the score. Do you have anything for us on, like, we were talking a little bit about Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. I'm worried that Dak Prescott might not be good. What do you think?
Well, you know, his supporting cast, I think, as crazy as this sounds, losing Dez Bryant, and whether you threw to Dez or not, somebody or one or two guys were always covering him. Losing Jason Witten, the tight end. I mean, they're not throwing the ball down the field at all, guys. And when was the last time that you saw – I mean, last week Prescott was sacked, I think, three times. You know what I mean? He's not making any plays on his feet. You know, they've got to take some shots down the field. Now, who are they going to throw it to? I don't know. I mean, Beasley, you know, they got a couple of young kids that they're hoping it comes along. But they're kind of a one-dimensional team in my mind right now to defend. If you can stop Zeke Elliott, you've got a real good chance to shut these guys down.
Yeah, I would think as a defensive coach, nothing delights you more than see a team which has a passing game that is 80% horizontal instead of vertical. You got to just
absolutely, you know. Absolutely, no question about it. You know, you're eliminating the big play. Absolutely.
Ohio State is against TCU on a neutral site. I know it's LSU, Auburn. Overall, not a great college weekend. What are you looking forward to on Saturday?
Well, you know, this Ohio State game. Now, TCU, when we're off the air, everybody should just look up what TCU has done under Gary Patterson as far as, number one, winning games, and number two, where they have been traditionally defensively, not just in the Big 12, but in the country as far as sacks and turnovers and total defense. So, you know, Dwayne Haskins is off the charts. The quarterback for Ohio State playing lights out. I think he's completing 80% of his third downs, I mean, which is unheard of. And so, I mean, I like Ohio State. I believe they got balance. They've got the best team. But this is going to be a lot more of a challenging game. And then, you know, Urban Meyer's not back yet. So you got Ryan Day. You've got the interim, you know, guy that's going to be the head coach. This will be the first game that he'll have to make some decisions that have an influence. In other words, are we going for it? Or are we going to punt the ball? Are we going to kick the field goal or not? You know what I mean? Some of those decisions that you make as a head coach, he didn't have to make them in the first two games when you're winning by 20, 25 points. He'll have to make some of those. So this is going to be an interesting game. It's going to be a fun game to watch.
Dave, thanks a bunch for calling. Have a great weekend in L.A. We'll see you back here next Thursday, man.
Okay, sounds good, guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
That's Dave Wanstead with us, McNeil and Parkins, on the Score.
Yeah, we're a little jumbled this week because of some matinee baseball, the makeup game yesterday in Washington. We should be back to our usual schedule, but hell, they don't even know what it is yet because we haven't had a chance to employ it with matinees the last Thursdays and Fridays.
I know, but Thursdays during the football season is going to be nice.
It's a diary day. No, it's not. We're not measured by that anymore. Yeah, it used to be that way. Think Thursday, think big. It's a diary day. Everyone's sharpening their pencils. Sports radio listeners never did that.
I didn't know that it was a day.
Thursday's
thing.
A diary day. Yep.
I did not even know that.
Big football on Thursday. That's why you plop who you crapping in at 5:05 because they line up for that stuff. That's what it was.
I had no idea.
The last 15 years of its existence, it was just stuff. You're right about the colleges. There aren't many appealing games, especially if you're a provincial college football fan, as I am. My interests primarily are in the Midwest. I like to watch Big Ten football. I like to watch Notre Dame. Notre Dame has Vandy tomorrow. I think that's an easy game for the Irish, although I don't trust them enough to lay 13.5.
Yeah, you're a better man than me. I can't really stand Big Ten football.
Yeah, but I know. Believe me, there's better football. Right, when you watch Clemson, you have an emotional attachment to Clemson. They compete for national titles. I understand why you would do that.
Yeah, and then I just like the best. So like 2:30 to me is Auburn LSU.
SEC, yeah. SEC, I've always liked the big SEC matchups at 2:30 as well. And there's a date at Soldier Field tomorrow involving a Big Ten school. Does anybody even know?
Ish.
What?
Illinois. I mean, Big Ten-ish.
Yeah, a Big Ten-ish school.
Yeah.
Illinois is playing at Soldier Field tomorrow against South Florida. South Florida is favored by 11. Does anybody really know what time it is? Does anybody really care? How many people will tickle the turnstiles at Soldier Field for that? 30,000? Will they get that many?
So I'd bet under on that.
That's a 2:30 game. I mean, South Florida is a huge school. Like, it's a huge school.
But do they travel well?
I have no idea.
Yeah,
Do you think South Florida fans have any interest in flying to Chicago to watch their team play football?
To come to Chicago, potentially.
Like an excuse to come to Chicago, go to Wrigley.
Try out for a spot in the Cubs bullpen, maybe.
Weather's still good. I obviously have no idea, but
Illinois has not drawn there well by themselves historically. They've had a couple dates there. Boy, it's been a little while. They had Washington State there. I want to say that's the last I remember Illinois, and maybe they've played there a couple times since. I know they had the game at Wrigley against Northwestern a few years back where both teams
had to go
the same direction. Great move. Let's approve this venue and then realize the day before the game when
incredible.
The teams went and worked out, there's not enough room outside of the end zone for us. This is dangerous. So they have to decide they're going to go all the same direction. But I've seen college games at Soldier Field. They just don't come. People just don't come to see college football at Soldier Field. When Northwestern was starting to matter on a semi-regular basis in the late 90s, they had a kickoff classic there against Oklahoma when Oklahoma was a decent program. They were on the comeback, and there were 30,000 people at the most there.
Do we have to look forward to a field storyline for the Monday Night Football game? Like they tear up the game on the field on Saturday, and then we get Monday Night Football.
I hope not. I really hope
Saturday
that's
morning
not the case.
Rain right beforehand, yeah, just to screw it over.
Exactly.
Haven't they recently resodded Soldier Field though? Didn't they do it after the preseason game?
I think so.
I think they just resodded.
There's always something.
Which is
though.
Not. Yeah, they got a problem with a water table there.
There's always something.
So you're gonna pay Khalil Mack all this money, and we're glad you did. Everybody in town is tickled. The Chicago Bears have issued the biggest checks in NFL history to a defensive player. We're all damn proud of you for doing that, Ted Phillips and Ryan Pace. Now pay Roger Bossard to fix your field because no one else has been able to figure it out.
We will welcome Lawrence Holmes in for some transition next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Oh, Lawrence.
The people talk.
Transition with Lawrence Holmes on The Score.
What's up?
Hello, man. Before we get to the yucks that Wani provided us, if I could just take a minute to ask a serious question. I know you guys talked about it a little bit today. If Corey Crawford has been having concussion symptoms since January,
mm-hmm.
and he's still having them
mm-hmm.
in mid-September with the season right around the corner, does it really make any sense for Corey Crawford to play hockey again?
No. No. I don't know.
I'm not a neurologist.
The situation firsthand with Corey Crawford, but symptoms that last that long, I would think it would be very difficult to rationalize playing hockey again.
It's what we all thought was going on last year when he didn't return. And if it's still going on, and it's funny because I was talking to Mac about this in the hallway. If it wasn't, you know, the Bears are getting ready for a Monday night game and Joe Maddon did some weird things yesterday,
uh-huh.
That should be the number one story that we're talking about.
You're right. You're right. That's a huge story. And I don't know what the Hawks are advising him, if what his family members are advising him to do. Just everything that we've picked up about CTE and all that goes with it. Symptoms lingering for 9 months, 10 months.
Yeah, but the NHL doesn't even really acknowledge concussions publicly.
Right. This has to be something that Crawford did. The fact that it came up
is a big deal. The fact that it was even being acknowledged by the Blackhawks is a big deal.
So that's kind of the story, is that they're even calling it a concussion publicly, because the official stance of the National Hockey League, according to Gary Bettman, is that repeated subconcussive hits don't cause CTE and hockey isn't dangerous long term. Like, that's their stance.
Well, I'm not here to tell you that he has CTE. I'm just saying that if a guy is struggling with recovering from a concussion 9 months later.
Yeah, that's not good.
That
if they're telling the truth, right? I mean, if that was the same thing from back in the day, because he also said he didn't suffer the concussion in the last
vertigo,
game he played.
Like, there was some of that stuff that was out there, too. If it weren't for the Bears being interesting and the Cubs in a pennant chase right now, I mean, that's a huge story.
Yeah,
Sidney Crosby would be precedent.
No doubt.
Of a guy who missed a ton of time for a concussion.
None of it was unprecedented. Not only had it all happened before, but it's happened in greater measure.
Yeah, so Sidney Crosby would be a precedent in hockey for a guy who missed a ton of time with concussion stuff and then came back and was productive.
All right, well, as long as we acknowledge it.
I'm glad you did, because we haven't talked about it since transition, so I'm glad you brought it back up.
It's just like when I was reading about it this morning, I was just going, man, I feel terrible for him. Like, if we could just, like, if it allows us to care about the human being for a second, it's like, Corey, you ain't got nothing else to prove.
Yeah, my hope would be he hangs up the pads.
Doesn't sound like that's happening.
I'm in the same boat. I'm also in the boat of send Cutler to Green Bay.
Dave wants that, yeah.
I am all for it.
Hey, he threw the ball to green jerseys for a bunch of years wearing a Bears uniform. He might as well give it a try wearing one of theirs.
I do wonder how much he's making off that show.
I mean, she makes a ton of money off of just, like, her brand, right? That lifestyle brand. But I don't know about, like, the show versus the jewelry.
A million? 2 million?
Him specifically?
Yeah. But, I mean, the house. Let's say the household. How much is the household making off that show?
A million.
Okay.
I think a million.
What could he get from the Packers to be the backup?
By three or four?
Three or four, maybe $5 million?
Yeah.
I'd stay at home and take that TV money.
Yeah, and plus she's got her.
He doesn't have to do jack.
Yeah, well, because it's all her. Like, she does the clothing and the jewelry and the whole thing.
He gets to walk around and be Jay, and they pay him to be Jay.
Yeah, it's a great gig. But that's more money than he was going to get from Fox to be on the number two team.
Yeah.
Right, in terms of a TV job.
I will say Aaron Rodgers is, like, one of the few people around the league that really likes Jay. So, from that standpoint,
that
actually
would change
makes
in
sense.
About 10 minutes, probably, if they had to share a locker room
or meeting room.
Yeah,
guys, Mike McCarthy didn't want to. He didn't want to invest in backup QBs when he had Hundley. He doesn't want to invest in them now with Kaiser. Like, he just
Kaiser.
He's clueless. He just is. He's punting the backup quarterback position when he has a generational talent at starter.
I mean, I get it, but the guy over the last couple of years has had some issues finishing seasons, too, but, you know.
I know. I'm just saying they should invest way more in backup with Rodgers, given the health concerns, but McCarthy doesn't.
What's your Joe Madden gold medal for last night? What's the thing that drove you craziest?
Look, I'm a Joe stan, and I readily admit that, but I was sitting there going, how about you play for more runs? That's my issue came with. Like, it's hard for me to get mad at Strope for trying as hard as he could to not get doubled up, but it just seemed like you have LaStella, you're like, try to score more runs, and then it doesn't matter as much who pitches the bottom half of the inning. But I want to let people vent about that because I know they will. I had a really long interview with Charles Tillman ready to roll because we thought we had a full show tonight. I condensed it down to some really good stuff that I had to bleep out. So I'll share that.
All right, cool.
That'll be fun. Listen to Lawrence coming up before Cubs baseball. We had a big show today.
Yeah.
Jim Riggleman was on the show.
It was good to talk to Riggs. Managing the Reds is always good to catch up with Riggs. That's fun.
Greg Cosell, Paul Charchian, and Dave Wonstedt as well. Chris Dickens helped out on the other side of the glass. It's much appreciated. Nick Shepkowski and Chris Tannehill, fantastic work as always. Have a good weekend, buddy.
You too. And I have replaced, since you guys don't like There's No Line, replacing my Vikings pick with the Redskins -5.5 against Indianapolis this week.
Okay. Committed that to memory for Who Do You Love. He's Dan McNeil. I'm Danny Parkins. That makes us McNeil and Parkins. Lawrence is up next. This is The Score.
Guys, I've got a lot of things to do today. Talk to you next week.
Stream The Score with radio.com. It's easy. Go to radio.com/listen or download the radio.com app now and get all your favorite Score shows live on your mobile device. Stream The Score with radio.com.
Visit Webb Chevy for a huge selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at the right price with the right options. Get the payment you want and the vehicle you deserve. Visit Webb Chevy today at two convenient locations in Oaklawn or Plainfield.
They raised my taxes in the middle of the recession, and my house was not worth the value that they claimed it was.
That's how it works in Illinois. Even when your home value decreases, your property taxes continue to increase.
We pay the bill, but they have no money to pay for having a meal.
The government is stealing your home. Listen to Mike S. in Naperville.
We're overtaxed, and my home value is not appreciated because of how much we're paying in property taxes.
Rich, poor, Republican, Democrat, you will not be spared the financial disaster the highest property taxes in the nation inflict. The good news is there's a group of independent candidates who aren't financed by Madigan or Rauner. They're working people, taking up our fight to lower your property taxes. They made a life in Illinois, and the hell if they're going to let politicians take it away. Go to SaveYourHomeNow.org for information on the candidates leading the revolt. Go to SaveYourHomeNow.org to hear your neighbor's stories and share your own. SaveYourHomeNow.org isn't just a website. It's a battle cry.
Liberty Principles paid for this ad and is solely responsible for its content, not authorized by any candidate or candidate committee.
Upwork is an endorsed by LaCroix. We just want to help. So, hey, LaCroix. Yeah. It's Upwork, a website of expert freelancers ready to do whatever needs doing. And with everyone drinking your bubble water, maybe you could use a hand or 20. How about a few data scientists to figure out how supply can keep up with demand? Or some graphics help to handle new can designs? Or some customer service agents to explain whether it's LaCroix, LaCroix, or LaCroix? Upwork, whatever you need done, get it done with a freelancer. Find full or part-time freelancers in Chicago today.
Rematch, Canelo, Triple G. On Saturday, September 15th, it's champion versus champion, the sensational Canelo Alvarez versus the undefeated Triple G.
The best of the best.
Huh? And you not like the rest, now you better than the rest. It's the fight of your life. Who gonna be the winner? There can only be one.
Triple G2, Saturday, September 15th, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, live on pay-per-view.
live on pay-per-view from Xfinity. Order with your remote or online now at Xfinity.com/boxing. Hey, sports fans, football season is here, and it's time to get in on the action with MyBookie.net. MyBookie.net is the industry-leading sports website that offers real Vegas odds on football, baseball, and all your favorite sporting events. You can take a side, the total, or even fantasy props. MyBookie.net lets you play online and win big. Did the game already kick off? Don't sweat it. MyBookie.net has in-game live action on every major league and event, even esports. There's no better time to join MyBookie.net than today. Go to MyBookie.net to open an account and start winning. Use promo code RADIO when you register for your account and get a 100% sign-up bonus on your first deposit. Play today. Visit MyBookie.net or call 1-844-866-2387. That's 844-866-2387. Check them out today and use promo code RADIO to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar. No deposit necessary. Terms and conditions apply. For entertainment purposes only. Void or prohibited.
Hey, Chicago. Geico presents Need to Know Information, because you have to draw the line between what you need to know and what you don't.
Sometimes I wear something I grabbed off the floor if it passes the smell test.
See, didn't need to know that. But when it comes to insurance, the more you know, the better. Like knowing Geico is the second largest auto insurer in the country. Plus, they've been around for over 75 years and have a 97% customer satisfaction rating.
Yeah, I've tasted dog food before. It really didn't taste that bad.
Again, not really needed. But knowing Geico offers more than just car insurance is important, like motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. And the Geico Insurance Agency can help you insure your home, apartment, and condo.
If I forget someone's name, I call them dude or man, and then avoid talking to them until I figure it out.
And not needed. But you should know local agents in your area could help you find even more savings with Geico, like military or federal discounts. And Geico offers emergency roadside service. Switching insurance is an important decision. You can never know too much about it. So, Chicago, contact Geico online, over the phone, or at your local office for all the information you really need.
Time out, Chicago. It's game time. The Buffalo Wild Wings daily reminder for tonight's games. Tonight, Chicago takes the field against Baltimore at 6:05. Only at B-Dubs can you get $5 game day pitchers of Bud Light, Coors Light, and Miller Light. Prices of participation may vary. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings Beer Sports.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Radio.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.